So this time we discussed the final Melech of the sons of Matisyahu. And once again, the sons of Matisyahu Urbanov, they were the ones who brought about the nest of Hanukkah. And this did this tremendous chesed that we owe to them, the whole dor v'dor, we owe to them in the future of Klal Yisrael. Yet, at the same time, we find that each one of the children of Matisyahu died in battle, and we learned that the Ramban says that the reason why they got such a terrible einish was because of the fact that they took the malchus for themselves, and they didn't give the malchus over to Shevet Yehuda. And as we explained, what he means is that malchus is first of all the schus of Shevet Yehuda, but besides that, the kayach, the wisdom to be able to lead Klal Yisrael as a melech, so, and the insight that one is able to get from the Torah in order to lead Klal Yisrael as a melech, so that insight was given to Shevet Yehuda. Their chelik, the chelik of Torah that is given over to Shevet Yehuda, is the chelik of Torah that comes with it the insights of how to look into the Torah and learn from the Torah how to lead Klal Yisrael. Being that he was from Shimon, being that all of the children of Matisyahu Ubanov, they were all Kehanim, so they did not have that wasn't their chelik of Torah. It wasn't a chelik in Klal Yisrael. They were supposed to be Kehanim. They were supposed to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. But besides that, that wasn't their chelik in Torah. And therefore, they did not have the wisdom and the insight to be able to make the right decisions in leading Klal Yisrael as a melech. And therefore, as a result, decisions were made by the children of Matisyahu that ultimately brought about their death, their failure. And not only their failure, but the failure of the Malchus, and the failure of the whole situation of the Eden living from this point on in the second Beis HaMikdash. Because, as we are going to learn, the situation in Eretz Yisrael went from bad to worse. We're going to learn about how the Matisyahu Ubanov, who were Meisa Nefesh, in order to take away the Kayach from the Misyavnim, and to take away the Kayach from the Tzdukim, the Vaisusim, the Amaratzim, and all of the other factions that were found in Eretz Yisrael, that went Keneged the Derech HaTorah, and to that they were Meisa Nefesh, ultimately, they, step by step, we're going to learn how it happened, but step by step, ultimately, they became the allies of the Misyavnim, and of the Tzdukim, and the Baisusim, and through them came about a tremendous Churban in this Tkufa of the second Beis HaMikdash. We're told that in the time of Shimon, as we mentioned, for many, many years, 30 years after the war began with the Misyavnim and with the Syrians, peace finally came onto Eretz Yisrael. People were able to live in prosperity. They were able to sit and to learn Torah. And we also know that Shimon, who now was the king, the wisest of all of the children of Matisyahu, made a decision. And the decision that he made is to fill up his house with kesef v'zov, to lead the life of a wealthy man. He was the melech, and as a melech, he was entitled to lead the life of a wealthy man. But the Torah tells us about a melech that lo yarbu lo kesef, because that he shouldn't have too much gold and silver, and because there's no telling Ram Levavoy, there's no telling what this will bring him to. Well, this Shimon made a decision to lead the life of a wealthy man. And the reason that he did this was because this mishpacha of Yosef and Tuvia, who were the tax collectors that we mentioned before, who are today the most wealthy, the wealthiest people that were found in Eretz Yisrael. And this mishpacha was a very wealthy and influential mishpacha. Of course, their wealth came from those days when they were able to mercilessly tax the Yidden. But being as it may be, now they were a very wealthy family and a very, very influential family. And as we mentioned before, they had a tremendous hashpah on the Amei Ha'aretz, people who were not learned in Torah and who looked up to these people. Because people who are not learned in Torah often do that. They look up to wealthy people as being successful people, and they try to emulate them. So this Shimon made a decision that he would lead a life of wealth, and of course he was able easily to afford a life of wealth. He was the Melech. He would lead the life of wealth, and by doing that, he would be able to be Makariv, first of all, the Mesyachmin, and perhaps even more important than that, he would be able to have a hashpah on the Amei Ha'aretz. Now the Amei Ha'aretz would look up at him. And we could well understand this. A person who has no chashivas for learning, these Amaratzim, who had no chashivas for learning, and the only chashivas that they understood were the chashivas of people who were wealthy people, talented people, this to them was chashiv. So when Shimon tried to convince them that they should learn the Torah, they should be mekayim the mitzvahs, he tried to draw them away from the hashpah of the family of Yosef ben Tuvia, from the tzdukim and the baisusim. So he had a very difficult time. This way, if he would show that he also is a person that has wealth, and he has the same wealth that they have, and at the same time, he also is machshiv Torah, and he is a person who's learned in Torah, so by doing that, he would be able to be makarv them, to bring them closer to the learning of Torah. And once again, perhaps we do this even in our generation at times, and maybe in this way, and maybe in different ways. But this was a decision that this Shimon made, and he decided to lead a very wealthy life. At the same time, we find that he took as a son-in-law a person whose name was Ptolemy, who was included amongst the Misyavmin. Now, of course, it's not clear, and it's hard to understand this. How could he take such a person as a son-in-law? Now, it could be that he wasn't such a big Misyavmin. Maybe he felt that he was a son-in-law that has promise. It's almost like, not that I know that was the situation, but if a person, a Talmud Chacham, has a daughter and wants to marry somebody who is an Am Ha'aretz, and the father feels that rather than rock the boat, he feels that this Am Ha'aretz has a lot of promise to him, and he feels that he'll be able to influence him to be able to learn Torah and to become a Talmud Chacham. So maybe he would be willing to go with such a marriage. Not chalila v'chas that we're going to compare it, but if we think about it, in the time of Rabbi Akiva, that Rachel married Rabbi Akiva, and her father got very upset at her. And we understand, why did he get upset? Because he was an Amoritz. At the time that she married him, he was an Amoritz. Now, of course, that story was completely different than this story, but at this point at least, it kind of looked the same, anybody looking in. And he could have very well felt, Shimon, that this Ptolemy was a person who had influence amongst the Misyavnim, and once he's going to be able to be Makarevim and make him into a Talmud Chacham, so he would be able to turn around to a very large degree the situation amongst them. After all, he was a very powerful person. So therefore, he agreed to the shidduch. Now the story goes that this Ptolemy, after becoming the son-in-law of the Melech, so he was all excited. Now, the son-in-law of the Melech, he's next to the most powerful person that's found in the kingdom, but he had no patience to wait for the future, that in the future he would be able to take over the kingdom. He wanted the power now. And he did something which only it's the cruelty that you find in the Greek storybooks as you read them. But it's such an outlandish cruelty that you can't imagine that such cruelty should be found within Klal Yisrael. But that was the story. This Ptolemy invited his father-in-law, this Shimon, together with his wife, to come to his house for a suda, and he brought along his two sons with him, Yehuda and Matisyahu. They all came for the suda, and in the middle of the suda, this Ptolemy and his people, they killed out Shimon and his entourage and the rest of his family. Again, we don't know. We don't know if the daughter protested or the daughter didn't protest. The daughter of Shimon, the wife of this Ptolemy, objected or didn't object. We really have no way of knowing. But that was the story. He went and he killed him. And he, after killing him, he decided that he wants to. There was one other son of Shimon, whose name was Yochanan Hyrcanus. Yochanan Hyrcanus was found then in Yerushalayim. So he sent his assassins to kill Yochanan Hyrcanus, and if he'd kill Yochanan Hyrcanus, then automatically he would take over the position as the king. All of the children of Shimon would be killed out. This Yochanan Hyrcanus found out what happened, and first of all, he protected himself against the assassins that came against him. And at the same time, he went to this Ptolemy, and in order to be able to redeem, I mean, the Shimon was killed, but his mother was not killed. So he, this Yochanan Hyrcanus went, and they were in the city of Yerichai, and he surrounded the city of Yerichai, and he told this Ptolemy that he should release his mother, but this Ptolemy didn't do this. In fact, he went up to the walls of the city, and he took his mother-in-law, the mother of this Yochanan, and beat her, and threatened that if this Yochanan Hyrcanus does not go away, then he's going to kill her. And he did this again and again. She begged, the mother, in other words, begged Yochanan Hyrcanus not to give in, but Yochanan Hyrcanus gave in and he went away. Ultimately, this Ptolemy killed his mother-in-law, and at the end of the story, this Ptolemy ran away. He ran away from Eretz Yisrael, and he ran outside of Eretz Yisrael, and now the kingdom was left in the hands of this Yochanan Hyrcanus. So Yochanan Hyrcanus was the one, after this cruel deed that was done, so now he was the one that took over for his father, for Shimon, in Eretz Yisrael. But Shimon made the first move of being Makariv, the Misyavnim, of being Makariv, the Amoratzim. And again, we are assuming that he did it for very good reasons, but the truth of the matter is that it ultimately brought about his own downfall. And we are going to learn that once this Shimon brought in this way of proceeding as a melech, So Yochanan Hyrcanus didn't learn his lesson. Perhaps he felt that the idea in general was a good idea. Ptolemy, now he was the rotten apple, but the idea of being makar of all of these different factions and bringing them closer to the way of the Torah that Shimon devised, so he also liked the idea, and he also went using the same method of using these people, of trying to be makar of these people, and he had shaykhus with them. Not only did he have shaykhus with them, but he also made it so that these are the people that he brought in as his advisors amongst all of the other people that he had. And of course he had from the Chachamim also. He had from all the different people that he had with him. But he included the Mesyavnim, and he included the Tukim and the Baisusim. He included all the different factions. And seemingly the way we'll understand this is that he went with the same philosophy that his father went. And this is the way that he's going to bring them all together. Now, the Gemara tells us over a story that took place. And the Gemara tells us, the Gemara is in Kiddushin Da Samach Vav Omer Aleph, the Gemara tells us that this story took place with Yanai HaMelech. There seems to be a question of who Yanai is, and that's a shaila in the Gemara in Brachos, Machlokes, Rava and Abaya, if Yanai Luchud and Yochanan Luchud, if they're two different people. If they're not two different people, then it would seem that Yochanan was the father and Yanai was the son. So this story that the Gemara brings down, the Gemara in Kedushin brings down, either took place at this exact time, or else it took place a little bit later. The Gemara in Brachos, which talks about Yanai, says that a person should never feel secure by himself. You never know what the future is going to bring, and the Gemara proves it from Yanai. In other words, you have a person who is a tzaddik, and the Gemara says, "Al tamin be'atzmacha adyei ma'ischa." Don't believe in yourself until the day that a person dies, because you can have a person who is a tzaddik kol yimei chayav, and at the end of his life, so you know he almost made it, and the person could turn into a rasha. And the example that the Gemara gives, or the proof that the Gemara gives that there is such a thing, is from Yanai HaMelech. And once again, that's what the Gemara says over there. And then we have another Gemara, and the Gemara says, because over there the Gemara calls it Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Excuse me, that was Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and Seif Yomav, he became a Tzduki. And over here, that's the Gemara in Brachos, and again, there's a question if Yochanan and Yanai is the same person. And over here in the Gemara in Kedushin, we're going to learn about how Yanai became a Tzaduki. So again, if these two stories, these two people are one and the same, or if they one generation leads the other, is not clear. It has to do with the Machlokes Abaye v'Rava. But either way, for our issue, as far as the historical story that took place, so this is a story that took place at approximately this time. And the Gemara says as follows, that there was a story with this either Yochanan or Yanai. The Gemara, once again, this Gemara says Yanai, and this is Abaya, so this is Abaya, this is Abaya in Brachos. So Abaya calls him Yanai, so whether he's Yanai or Yochanan, this is the story that the Gemara brings down, that he went and he waged a battle in a certain place, a certain area that was found in the desert, Toichlis Shevamidbar, in a certain area in the desert, and there he captured 60 different towns. When he came back to the capital, to Yerushalayim, so he was very much besimcha, and he was besimcha because he saw how successful he was able to be. I'm sure that he didn't attribute this success as a personal success. look how successful Klal Yisrael is. And he called together all of the wise men of Klal Yisrael, and he said to them as follows, Aveisenu hayu eichlim meluchim. Our forefathers, when they came to build the Beis HaMikdash, Aveisenu hayu eichlim meluchim, bizman sheyu asukim bebinyan Beis HaMikdash. Our forefathers, a couple of generations before, they came up to build the Beis HaMikdash, and they were only able to eat meluchim. This is the type of a food that a poor person would eat. That's the food that they ate. So, and they ate it because that's all they had to eat. Now we could of course eat whatever we want. Look at the wealth that we have. So we could eat whatever we want. However, af anu neichal meluchim. Let's also eat meluchim. Let's also eat this very poor food. It almost looks like eating matzah on Pesach, so to say, reminding ourselves about how when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim. So he says, let's eat meluchim. Zecher l'aviseinu, just as remembrance of what our forefathers had to do. And it says that they brought this poor food, and they put it on shulchanes shel zahav, on tables made out of gold. So once again, we see the wealth that they lived with, tables made out of gold. As we mentioned, this was this Shimon's philosophy of the king living with much wealth. So, but they're going to sit in a very strange and ironic kind of a sight, so to say. They're going to eat this poor bread, but they're going to eat it on tables made out of gold. And they ate. For Ochlo, and they ate. Now, then the Gemara says as follows, and he was all happy with himself that he was able to have such tremendous success. So the Gemara says that there was there, amongst the people that were there, there was a person, the Gemara says about him, Ish Letz Lev Ra Ublial. He was a Letz, a person who made fun, and to be more exact, as far as the interpretation is concerned, a letz is a person who's mevatel everybody and everything. That's ish letz. Lev ra, a person who has a wicked heart. Ublial, and he's a lawless person. He's a person that he's a bad person. So here the Gemara has no kind words for this man, to say the least. The Eloza ben Payira Shemai, and his name goes down in history. Everybody who learns this Gemara now knows about this man, Eloza ben Payira, that this is the man that the Gemara calls Ish Letz Lev Ra Ublial. And this person said to Yanai HaMelech, and then with this is a troublemaker. And then again, sometimes people say things, and they say things not realizing the ramification of what they're going to say. And I think that's why the Gemara starts off by telling us that this man knew very well the ramifications of what he's going to say, and that's why he gathered together all of his wickedness, all the wickedness that he could possibly know before he made the statement. And he said, Yanai HaMelech, Libam Shal Perushim Olech. He said to Yanai, he said, King Yanai, the heart of the Perushim Olech are on you. In other words, they are jealous of you, or they dislike you. You should know that these Perushim, these people, these Chachomim that are sitting around here, so you think so highly of them, they're really very jealous of you, of all of your successes. So the Gemara says, so Yanai said, what should I do? How am I able, how can I prove this? You say that they're not happy with my successes, how can I prove this? So he told him, I have for you an etza. Hokim lehem betzitz shebein einecho. He says, cause them to get up, put the tzitz bein einecho, and the tzitz, of course, is that plate that was worn by the Kohen Gadol, and he wore this on his head between his eyes, and it said on it the Shem Hashem. Put it on, you're a Kayin, put it on. In other words, by putting it on, you're taking for yourself the position of Kayin Gadol, so you're the Melech, and now you're a Kayin, so you're going to take yourself the position of Kayin Gadol also. And you're going to stand up. I mean, they're going to have to rise. You're going to stand up. You're going to be wearing the tzitz. And they're going to have to rise. And their rising is going to be an admission, so to say, that you're also the Kohen Gadol. Now, who else should be the Kohen Gadol if not you? You are so successful. Look at all of the great things that you're doing for Klal Yisrael. True, you're the king. But you deserve to be the Kohen Gadol also. So, and that's how we're going to test it. If the people are going to be jealous of you, and they're not going to want you to take all this honor, so they're going to object. So the Gemara says he followed this plan, and there was a Zokein Echad, there was one of the Chachomim, the Yehuda ben Gedanya Shemoi, and this Yehuda ben Gedanya said, Tiyamei HaMelech, Yamei HaMelech, Rav Lucho Keser Malchus, Yamei HaMelech, it's enough that you have the crown of a king. You should be satisfied that you have the crown of a king. Hanach Keser Kehuna Lezari Shel Aaron. Leave over the Keser Kehuna, the crown of Kehuna, to the children of Aaron. Now, what did he mean with this? So the Gemara explains, Shehayu Aimrim Imay Nishbis B'maydiyim. Because there were those who said that Yanai's mother was a shvuya. She was captured by the Goyim in the city of Maidim. And the halacha is that if the mother is a shvuya, was captured by the Goyim, so then her son has the halacha of a cholo, and he's not kosher to be a Kohen, because we're afraid that she was mezana with the Goyim. And therefore, we don't know for sure, but there was such a rumor, and being that there was such a rumor, that's what he meant. So he said, you're better off taking off the tits, don't play the role of a Kohen Gadol, because we're not positive that you're a kosher a Kohen Gadol, but what's so bad? So you're a melech, and you're a very successful melech, so vos is shlecht, you'll be a successful melech. Then the Gemara says, "Vayibukei shadavu v'lo nimtza," and they went to investigate. The Yanai didn't take the sitting down, and they went to investigate to try to prove: is it true that the mother was a shvuya? And they weren't able to prove it. And vayibodlu chachmei Yisrael b'zam, and he chased away chachmei Yisrael. He was angry. He was convinced now that what was said about the Chachmei Yisrael, that the Chachmei Yisrael didn't want him to have all of this power, and therefore he chased away the Chachmei Yisrael in anger. And what's interesting is that this Gemara is brought here in the Sechtes Kedushin, because now the Gemara is going to go investigate this statement. The part that's interesting to this Gemara is just this statement, Vayibukei Shadova V'loi Nimtza. How did they try to prove it, and what did they find out? And this is the sugya of Trey. The Gemara says that two Eidus said one way, two Eidus said the other way. And that's why this story is not brought into the Gemara, because of its historical value. Because the Gemara never brings just historical stories. It's brought in because of the halachadika ramifications that could come out of this story. But in the meantime, we're able to pick up a little bit of the history of what was going on. Now, the Gemara continues on with the story. This Elazar ben Pa'ira, he saw that he had things going. And he wanted to finish off, so to say, the Chachmei Yisrael. He got Yanai or Yochanan angry at Chachmei Yisrael, and he knew that the climate now is right, that he should be able to finish off the situation. So this Elazar ben Pa'iriah, he said to Yamei HaMelech, Yamei HaMelech, if you would be a simple person and you would be accused, and you find it afterwards that it's not so, and you can't prove it, and you're innocent, so to say, okay, fine. But you're a melech, and you're a Kohen Gadol. So is that your lot? Is that the way you can be treated by these people? Is that the way these people are treating you? If you'd be a simple person, I could understand it. But as a king and as a kain gadol, now you're going around with the tzitz. So this is the way they're treating you. So I mean, you're just taking this sitting down, and now he is getting this yamer, this yerchin, and even angrier. So he says, so what should I do? These are chacham, what should I do? So he said to them, this person, this Elazar ben Periya said to this Yanai, he said, if you listen to me, imata shemei latosi reitzim. If you want to listen to my advice, then kill them. They did you such dishonor, kill them. So now, it's interesting because this Yanai killed the Chachamim, and you can imagine there must have been some frumer raid going on over here. Melech, at the din of a Melech, and Shayim Tos Lecha Melech, Shatei Moser Lecha, they were Mavazi you, and they have a Negro, you're allowed to kill him, and Al Pidin, you're allowed to kill him, and the Melech is for sure allowed to kill him, even without going to a Bezdin. You should kill them because of the Bizoyan that they brought onto the Malchus. But he argued back. He said, "The Torah matei aleh." Okay, so you're right. I'm going to kill out the chachamim, and it would seem that all of the chachamim, they all agreed that he should not be the kohen gadol. But he said, "If I'm going to kill out all of the chachamim, so then what's going to be with the Torah? Who is going to be able to carry on the tradition into the next generation?" So you see that this Yanai he wasn't a simple person. He understood, he knew right from wrong, and he knew that Klal Yisrael without Chachamim is not a way to go. But he answered him, Harei Kurucha Munechas Bekeren Zavius. He told him, that's not a problem. He said, because the Torah is rolled up, and it's resting in the corner. It's kerucha, it's rolled up, and it's resting in the corner of the room. Kol harei tzalumay, yavay b'yilmay. Anybody who wants to learn the Torah, you don't need the chachamim in order to learn the Torah. Anybody who wants to learn the Torah should just go over and learn the Torah. That's what he answered. Now, the Gemara tells us, is that a good argument? So the Gemara says, of course, that's not a good argument. But the Gemara says, and why isn't it a good argument? Because as the Gemara is going to tell us, that there is, although the Torah Shebichsav is Munachas B'Keren Zavius, but how about Torah Shebal Peh? And you can't learn Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebal Peh. We need the Chachamim to transmit to us the Torah Shebal Peh. The fact that Yanai was willing to accept this argument that the Torah is that the Torah is Monachas the Keren Zavius and Harei Tzalumay Yovay V'Yilmay, so at that moment Yanai, by accepting this argument, denied the existence of Torah Shebal Peh. This is, of course, the argument of the Tztukim, the Baisusim, the Misyavnim, without a doubt, who gave had no chashivas klal, not for the chachamim and not for Torah Shebal Peh. So you want to keep up the old traditions that you have from generation to generation. So that's Torah Shebichsav, the old books you can keep up. You don't need the chachamim for that. You don't need the chachamim, and so therefore the Gemara says miat. Amrav Nachman by Yitzchok Nizrika ba Apikursus. This Yanai or Yoichanan, so he became it was thrown into him Apikursus, in his mind went in Apikursus, because the Gemara says he should have said Tinach Teresh Bichsav Teresh Shabal Peh Mayin. Okay, that's a good argument for Teresh Bichsav. What about Teresh Shabal Peh? And being that he didn't argue this, so that was Nizrika ba Apikursus. That he, at this point, he was convinced that you can have Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebal Peh, and the Gemara calls this Apikursus. And the Gemara goes on to say, Miyav Atutzatz Haro Al Yedei Elazar Ben Peiro, and from this point on, the evil came because of Elozo ben Periah, Vayargu kol Chachmei Yisrael. And they killed out all of Chachmei Yisrael. And we'll soon see that all is just about all, almost all, that he went, as Yameh went, and killed out all of Chachmei Yisrael. V'hoya ha'olam nishtaymin. And the world was stood still. Ad shebo Shimon ben Shetach v'hizler es ha'tayra liyoshna. Until Shimon ben Shetach came, and he returned the Torah to its original status. And Rashi explains that this came about because we are going to learn that Shimon ben Shetach had a sister who was married to this Yanai and the Shloimes, and she protected her brother Shimon ben Shetach, and through Shimon ben Shetach, so things were brought back. He was able to be Mazel Torah Liyoshna. And now this story that took place was a tremendous turning point in the history of the Second Beis HaMikdash for many different reasons and from many different angles. First of all, we now have a situation of the Yevot of the Chashmonaim, who are Meis HaNefesh, to do battle with the Yevonim, with the Misyavnim, with the Kusim, with the Stukim, with the Amoratsim, who did everything to bring the Kayach of the Chachamim into Eretz Yisrael, and now one of the Chashmonaim, or the Chashmonoi, who took over the Malchus, now became one of the Misyavnim, and one of the Stukim, one of the Vaisusim. So a complete turnaround. It's an unbelievable kind of a situation because of his covet. And we can understand that perhaps this Yanai wasn't a Talmud Chacham. You know, he was, from the time that he was born, he was a soldier, he was at war, but whatever. But his chinuch that he got from his father and from his grandfather was always a chinuch, that the main thing is the Torah and everything and so forth and so on, everything that we've learned until this point. Yet, because of his covet, this all turned around. And from now on, we're going to see a tremendous decline of the status of Malchus of the Chashmonaim, going from a Malchus that was Meisa Nefesh for the Kroit Chachomim, for Teresh Baal Peh, for Torah, for Limura Torah, for a nation that's built on the Torah. So now this all just turn around, and we're headed off from this point on in an opposite direction. So that's one issue that we're going to have to learn that is going to make a tremendous impact. The second thing that we're going to learn is about this Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach, that was Mazel Torah Liyoshna. So we're going to learn about him, about what he did for the situation of Chinuch in Eretz Yisrael, when ultimately he came back into Eretz Yisrael, how he came back into Eretz Yisrael, which is also a Gemara. So we're going to learn about him also. We're also going to learn about Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, who is another one of the Chachamim that was able to escape the wrath of Yanai, and the Gemara is going to tell us about how he, when he ran away to Mitzrayim, and coming back from Mitzrayim, so Rachmanu Shlom, what he brought, because he had to be in Mitzrayim, and we're going to now maybe appreciate a little bit more that the Chachamim we mentioned made a Tumah on Eretz Ha'amim. They didn't want Yidden to go into outside of Eretz Yisrael, into Chutz La'aretz, especially not in Mitzrayim, because of the situation that was found in a place like Mitzrayim, even amongst the Yidden, as we learned in many lectures before. Well, now the Shimon ben Shetach was forced to go to Mitzrayim, and when he came back from Mitzrayim, he came back with one of his Talmidim, whose name was Yeshu HaNoitzri, and we're going to learn about what happened with this Talmud, the terrible effect being in Mitzrayim had on this Talmud. He didn't come back just with Tumas HaAmim, he came back with a lot more than that and a lot worse than that, and the effect that he had for that generation in Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to learn also about what it meant for Klal Yisrael, even for the Torah, to be able to rejuvenate itself, to bring itself back from this this terrible situation, and to figure out a way to be able to now live in Eretz Yisrael with a whole different type of a malchus altogether. Perhaps worse than it ever was before, before we had Tsaris that came from the Syrians, from the Greeks, and the Greeks were Mashpia, and the Misyavnim, and there were problems in Eretz Yisrael. But now the Misyavnim, they had the Koyach of the Malchus. It wasn't just that they were very powerful and very wealthy people. But now they were powerful, wealthy, and they were the king, and they were the Kohen Gadol. And so therefore they had the most prominent position in Eretz Yisrael. And under such, and once again, and the Kohen HaTorah at the same time was so weak, so the battle against them was so much more difficult. And with them all, and with all of this situation, somehow we were able to, the Chachomim were able to make it so that Klal Yisrael was able to survive throughout the rest of the second base of Migdash, although admittedly so, it was a very, very difficult situation from this point on.